You're listening to another episode of Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 110.
110, John.
Hell no.
110. Did you ever think we'd make it to 110?
No.
You think we'll make it to 210?
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt, man.
No doubt. No doubt, John.
We got to have... We got to get on the air somehow, man.
Why? We are on the air.
No, this is crap.
We're in the air.
I want to get paid.
Paid?
I want to get paid lots of money.
Here's our mission statement. Well, not really mission statement, but here's our project plan, right?
Yeah,
build up an audience.
Right.
And then we shut off all podcasting directories and have them come to our website.
That's a good idea. Can you do that?
Why not?
Can you shut them down?
Well, I was investigating that because actually we have two podcast links. We have one from A Kangaroo Court.
Right.
That was our original link.
Right.
And then the new one is Total Talk Nonsense. So every week I have to update two RSS files.
Talk the nonsense.
And so, for example, iTunes and Podcast Alley are... at Kangaroo Court, but all the rest are Total Talk Nonsense. So I started to investigate pulling the plug on A Kangaroo Court.
Yeah.
And what that would mean. And we would have to give a big notice to everybody that
wow.
If they were subscribed to
Toast,
A Kangaroo
done.
Court, you're not going to get that subscription anymore. And you're going to have to go and find Total Talk Nonsense again and resubscribe.
Wow. That sucks.
But if we're going to do that, what I can investigate is hosting our own RSS feed and allowing subscription capabilities.
Why can't you just set it up so that anybody that subscribes to that feed, it defaults to our TTN feed?
I can look into that, too.
See?
You know, I just started my analysis phase, John, if you will.
Do I need to direct you, man?
No. I'm just saying I'm in the analysis phase. Okay.
Let's brainstorm on this. Do we have a brainstorming meeting?
Let's have a brainstorm after I collect my anal SSS.
It's out of sight.
Right on. Then we drive people to our site.
Right.
I think we need to start doing more with video and shit like that.
Yeah. You're working on something.
I am working on something. You're helping me out with that, too.
Last minute, again.
Again. Well, of course it's last minute because it's a project for school, right?
Yeah.
And then for a week went by, so I have 3 weeks to get it done. A week goes by, I got no ideas whatsoever. And then an idea pops into my head, and then I get consumed with this. So I get it on paper. I get it out to everybody. Everybody signs on. You sign on.
Yeah.
One of the guys in the project dropped out. He's a behind-the-scenes kind of guy, John, behind the scenes.
Right.
So we shot all in one night at the prestigious university that I attend. We got kicked out, too, but just in time to get the last two lines in. But the biggest problem I have...
I gotta hand it to you, man. You are one fucking schmoozer. I don't even know why you bother doing what you do. You should be selling real estate. You could sell fucking... a ketchup popsicle to an Eskimo in white gloves.
You think so?
That's how goddamn good you are. Oh, come on, please. Just two more minutes. Come on. Please.
Is that a new haircut?
Oh, yeah. Is that a new haircut? Oh, wow. You have big tits.
Well, you missed the guy that I had to beg for the tripod.
Oh, yeah?
He was like your typical AV guy.
Yeah, I saw him. He came in when he won.
Oh, right. That was him.
How long are you going to be in there? I'm thinking, who the fuck is this guy? I got to reset the projector.
Yeah, the AV guy.
Hey, I'm familiar with these things.
You want me to do that?
No.
No, I get in trouble.
No, I can't do that. What'd you have to do to get the tripod?
Well, the tripod didn't even work, but they had a tripod because when they take your student ID, it's on a tripod. So I went downstairs and I said, hey, man, I got a huge favor to ask. I just need to borrow that tripod. I'll get it right back to you. I just need to borrow it. I forgot my tripod.
Yeah, and this is what he said.
The fuck you in for, bitch? Start sucking.
No, he was just, I could tell he did not want to give it to me. He didn't want to give it to me, and somehow I talked him into it, so he gave it to me. And then he was so surprised when I gave it back. Like I was going to like steal walk it. Out with yeah. it or something. But it came together pretty quickly. We got you guys the script. We went and everything fucking went wrong right off the bat.
Right out of the bat.
And then when I get home after I shoot everything, the very first stuff I'm looking at is your confessional, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a reality show when the character of the reality show talks directly to the camera. So John's talking directly to the camera, and here's what my dumbass does. I hit on when I mean to hit off, and off when I mean to hit on. So I would say, okay, you ready? You ready? Okay, action. And then I would hit off.
Yeah.
And then nothing. And then I would turn it back on, and then we'd talk about the next scene. And then the camera would kind of like drift over to the wall. And that was like 12 minutes of the first 12 minutes I looked at. I was like, oh, my God.
How dare you ever yell about Joel?
Did I fucking do this for the entire shoot?
The whole movie.
But I didn't. But then the other thing that was a real hurdle was the clip-on microphone, the battery must have been low because the audio is barely.
Yeah, how could you not tell that?
I could hear it in my headphones, but it just, for whatever reason, it didn't pick up. And you, fortunately, you were there because I would have had to reshoot all that shit again. But you said, hey, why don't you got this other camera sitting here. Why don't you just shoot it from this angle and just keep the film rolling? And that's what I ended up using for the underlying audio track.
Nice.
For all that shit. If that didn't happen, I would have had to say, okay, yeah, we're going to have to do a presentation. This video isn't going to happen. It's cursed.
It's cursed.
Cursed.
It's cursed, damn it. Oh. Oh. What the fuck? I could see it, too. What? Oh.
What are you talking about?
What the fuck?
No, come on.
No?
It's a privilege to work with everybody.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying, because you didn't have the video shot.
Yeah, we couldn't find the correct... Yeah. So, I got to ask...
It'll be better tonight, though. We should reshot some stuff.
Yeah, we reshot some stuff, and I should be able to finish it tomorrow, and I need to... talk to the other two people, see if they give me permission to put it up on the YouTube there. Maybe we could share it with everybody, John.
Oh, yeah.
Let's share it with everybody. Right on. Oh, so then I get home.
Might have to add some parts, though, like...
yeah.
Sex scene or something. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, it is rated G.
I know, I started thinking, should I show my kids this? Oh, that's right. It's a religious school.
It's not a religious school.
Fucking religious school.
It's a Catholic school.
Oh, so that's not religious.
But it's not even that. Because
I made a comment about, can we say fuck or something? No.
No, you said Jesus Christ.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No, dude, man, it's a Catholic school. What does that have to do with Jesus Christ?
But the other thing is, so I get home. It's 11 o'clock. The first shot, I just want to maybe put a couple of things together to get a start on it. The very first thing I look at is completely fucked up. So I go out of my mind, and I start putting stuff together, and I start.
That's what I was saying. Oh.
I start going through it, and I ended up putting pretty much 80% of it together. I'm up for 36 hours. I didn't sleep that night.
Oh, my God.
So I was, which was kind of a cool experience. When I was 20, I stayed up for 46 hours, and then 3 weeks later, I stayed up for 56 hours.
Right.
Because I was I had a job that worked nights, but I was a social animal, social creature, John.
I've done that before. You hallucinate.
And too bad there weren't video cameras around then.
Yeah.
And I really don't remember much of it.
What, are you that old?
People. Right. Digital video cameras.
No. Too bad there weren't video cameras back. What, they have the fucking Super 8 no. hand crank?
Well, you had the old analog, which was a real pain in the ass to convert to digital. So I stayed up, and I had to go to work the next day. So I'm at work, and I'm fine as long as I get to talk, you know?
Yeah.
I'm fine. I could stay awake. I had to go to a training class for 2 hours.
Oh.
And at least four times my head, like, jerk. It would snap down, and I'd snap back up. And did you ever, right when you fall asleep, you ever twitch? Your whole body, like, twitches?
Yeah, yeah.
That was happening to me while I was awake. I'm looking at this trainer, and the curriculum was kind of, you know, subpar anyway. I didn't even want to be there. And I'm looking at this guy, and my body would just twitch like I was dozing off, but I wasn't dozing off. And so then I went home, and I think around 6 o'clock I took a little nap, and then I went to bed at 10, and it was the best sleep I've ever had, from 10 to 6 a.m., out, cold.
Nice.
I guess a bunch of stuff happened, and my son came in the room, and I guess I told him to get the hell out. I have no recollection of that whatsoever.
Wow.
Because my wife wanted me to apologize to him. For what?
No, I wouldn't. Get your ass in bed.
Yeah, I've about had it with that.
Yeah.
Coming in every night.
Up. Yeah. Oh, I'd snap. I got a story. Remember Heinz?
Heinz,
our
of course.
Our buddy Heinz.
We have any audio from Heinz?
It's somewhere here. I don't know.
Anyway, go ahead with your story.
He told me a story once. He's an engineer. And he was in a, what do you call it, like a same kind of meeting you were in.
We're here in the studio with Heinz Ruwald from Germany, and this is John from AKC Total Talk Nonsense.
Is this the unedited version?
Yeah. We thought we'd ask Heinz what he thinks of George W. Bush. What do you think of George W. Bush, Heinz?
He's the biggest idiot I can imagine. He has no brain, almost no brain. But I also don't understand the Americans to vote for him twice.
So anyways, Heitz tells me a similar story you just told me. But he was up like 36 hours and he's in this meeting. And he said he fell asleep and his forehead banged off the table.
Yeah.
And the mediator or whatever, the moderator or whatever you call it, the MC of the meeting, says, Mr. Ruwald, welcome back.
Welcome back.
In front of the whole fucking room. He said, it's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
My head, can you imagine my head smacking on this wooden table?
It's unbelievable you would vote for this guy twice.
This guy twice. It's unbelievable, this guy. So, yeah. So, what are we doing next year?
Next year?
Here. What are we doing?
I forgot. Whatever. I saw a movie. Did you see a movie?
I did.
What'd you see?
I went to see P2.
P2 at the theater?
Yeah, we went to that new MovieCo.
MovieCo.
We went in, the wife and I, the wife and then Special Ed and his wife, Special K. And, We met at MovieCo. We had to buy tickets in advance. We bought tickets to see American Gangster. And there's a bar, a lounge, really nice lounge up on the...
In the theater?
In the theater on the second floor. So we sat in the bar and we're hanging out, having a couple of cocktails.
They serve any food?
Yeah. Yeah, they have a whole menu.
Other than like popcorn and shit?
No. They got crab cakes and...
Nice.
Filet mignon sliders. Salmon, you name it. They got a bunch of stuff. Even, you know, turkey burgers.
Nice.
And
that's hot.
So we're sitting there and we're drinking. The wife says, "Man, I could sit here all night. Fuck the movie." I said, "Well, I told you I didn't want to sit in. You know, it's up to the three of you, three against one.
That's a long movie.
If you want to see a fucking 3-hour movie, yeah, and then not be able to come back out here and have a couple more drinks and have to go straight home and pick up the kids, but hey." You know, I suggested P2, not a great movie, I'm sure, but it'll get us back out to this bar to drink more.
Nice.
And she agrees with me, and the other two show up, and they go, "Yeah, that's a great idea. Switch the movie." So we switched it because it's way shorter.
Now, did you formally switch it? Like, did you go back to the ticket office and say,
"Yeah,
trade these tickets
in"?
Yeah,
because they're assigned seats.
Oh.
Yeah. The seats are assigned, and they're fucking huge. They're like lazy boys.
What's the ticket price?
Like $15, man.
Whoa.
and they're lazy boys, and you could bring your beer in with you and go get a couple of beers while the movie's on.
Beers.
Yeah, beers.
They got wine, because I can't
drink beer.
They
got wine. They got any kind of any kind of liquor. Any kind of liquor you want. You could have a chocolate martini if you want. And, yeah, we saw this movie. It was okay. There's a great fucking kill scene. The movie's basically about this chick. She works for some sort of law firm or something, and she's working late on Christmas Eve in this building. So late that she has to tell everybody, all family members and stuff, that she can't, she's going to be a little late for the Christmas festivities. But she's so late that nobody else is in the building when she leaves, except for like two night watchmen. And the one night watchman has to bring her down the elevator, and he's a pretty cool guy. The second guy, her car, she finds out her car won't start. The second guy is kind of a fucking creep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He invites her to have a Christmas dinner because her car won't start. She tries to start the car, won't start. Hey, if you want, you could come join me. I'm just microwaving up some Christmas dinner. And she says, what? And he goes, no, just kidding. And you could tell he's a fucking cretin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then it goes from there. He fucking locks her in. He ends up like chloroforming her. And she wakes up sitting at a table in his office. And the table's all decorated and candlelights and shit. He made turkey. Put her in this nice dress and fucking handcuffed her and shackled her legs to the bottom of the table. And she wakes up, and that's when the party starts.
And how many people show up to the party?
Just the two of them. That's when the fucking fireworks, man. Anyway, so
she escapes, I'm assuming.
At some point, yeah. But it takes till the whole end of the movie. But there's this really kick-ass kill scene where this married dude came on to her in an elevator, and the guy, the creepy dude, has video of it and shows it to her and says, we're going to go on a little trip. And they jump in his car. And he
Road trip?
Yeah, they drive around the parking lot, and they come to this one empty area, the level of the parking lot, and there's the guy, and he's all fucking duct taped to a chair, and his mouth is duct taped shut, and the guy gives her the flashlight and says, okay, go kick his ass because he did this to you.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's fine. He didn't mean anything by it. No, come on. Do it. No, she wouldn't do it. So he goes out and takes his flashlight and just beats the fuck out of this guy. Then gets back in the car and decides to leave, and the chick says something that sets this guy off, and he rams into this guy like four times into the wall.
Ugh.
And on the last one, the guy's head like explodes and it splashes all over the windshield. And I'm like, yeah. And I look over the wife. She's got her hand over her eyes. And oh, my God.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, man, dude.
Now, is this P2, like we've already broken out the Christmas movies. We've already seen Christmas Vacation. A movie like P2, is that something that'll be played over and over on Christmas?
No, I don't think so. Maybe it's Spike and Rachel's house, but...
Well, yeah, somebody who's into that genre. Maybe. We'll have to ask Spike and Rachel. We'll have to send them some sort of communication and ask that question. Is this something that... like, for example, Bad Santa just came out.
Yeah,
it's something you can't watch with the kids, but
right.
I want to watch it every year, you know, along with It's a Wonderful Life, Christmas Vacation.
Right, right. It's right up your
Home
alley.
Home Alone.
You'll have to be home alone to watch that one.
Right, right on.
I don't know about that, but they're close to the very, almost the very end, he calls her the C word, and that's not good.
Then she loses it?
Yeah.
So she's been...
No, she's fighting him off through the whole movie, and at some point, you know, when it's just about all over and her escape is just, everything's fine, He breaks bad on her and calls her the C word after he's been telling her that he loves her and all this stuff.
What do you mean by the C word?
Cranky.
Cranky?
Yeah.
Oh. No. I thought you meant cunt.
That's the word I meant.
Yeah, because I said that word last podcast, and I don't remember saying it, but when I went back and indexed the show,
yeah,
and I'm listening, and I heard that, I was like, oh, wow.
Oh,
I must really not have liked those blockbuster.
Censor that mouth.
Those young blockbuster men.
Right. What? You call them cunts?
Yeah, I did. So I saw a movie, John. This was a DVD movie. It was a recommendation from a colleague at work.
Yeah.
And there's been three. I've worked with this guy for 6 years. This is the third movie he's recommended. Not only did he recommend it, he brought it in for me. And he said,
whoa,
here, it's a Netflix movie. Here, you watch it. And then this other guy wants to watch it. So I got pretty pumped about that because the other two movies he recommended, something was with George Wendt and a kid, and he pummels this kid with a golf club repeatedly. I can't remember what that was. And what was the other one? I can't remember the other one, but I enjoyed it. But this one, he said, if you watch this one, you may not want to have your wife watch it.
Oh.
She probably don't want to have her watch it. So I went home. We had family night. We watched Christmas Vacation. The kids went to bed. The wife said, do you have any movies? And I said, yeah, I got this one movie. But this guy told me you might not want to watch it. So I went out to the car. I got the movie. I came in and I read the description. And here's the description. When a young woman rejects her current overweight suitor in a restaurant, he unexpectedly places a curse on her. The film then moves on to her sisters. One is a happily married woman with a psychiatrist husband and three kids. Unfortunately, the husband develops an unnatural fascination for his 11-year-old son's male classmates. One of his patients has an unrequited fascination for the third sister. Meanwhile, the apparently stable 40-year-old marriage of a sister's parents suddenly unravels. So it's a focused on one specific family. And there are a couple of characters that hit this family from a couple different directions. And the movie was Premiere, the magazine Premiere, voted this movie as one of the 25 most dangerous movies. I don't know what that means, 25 most dangerous movies. But the title is called Happiness, and it came out in 1998. IMDb user rating is 7.7 out of 10. I like the movie. I enjoyed the movie. I didn't enjoy it, but it's a movie. It's about a completely dysfunctional family, and there's something in there for everyone. I mean, there, you can relate to somebody in this movie. For example, Philip Seymour Hoffman plays a data processor who's in his 40s. He's never met a woman.
So you could relate to that.
So I can relate to that because I know somebody like that, and it gave me a different perspective on that person that I know.
Are you talking about Deeb?
Then John Lovitz is in this movie, and I don't like John Lovitz
really?
At all. Last week we talked about people that I just don't get at all. One of them is Jerry Seinfeld, and he's an arrogant MF-er on top of it. But John Lovitz, I just never got that guy.
Yeah.
But this role, he's only in the movie for the first 10 minutes. What a just a fantastic job. Fantastic job. Dylan Baker, Laura Flynn Boyle's in it, Ben Gazzara, and a heavy Cameron Manheim, because she's lost some weight recently.
Yeah.
But this movie is... There are things in this movie that I have never seen in another movie. Never even discussed in another movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. And I think that's one of the reasons my wife didn't like it. But we did have to pause this movie several times to have discussions about what we were seeing and how we related that to...
What's wrong with you people, man?
What do you mean?
What is that? To have discussions?
No, it wasn't like, okay, we have an agenda. If there's something here we want to stop and talk about, I'm going to pause. It wasn't like that. It was... It invokes such a powerful emotion that I had to pause it
so
and discuss.
Queer.
Hey, man, here's what we need. Hey,
stop. We need to talk about this. Why? some fucking crackhead's vision who put this in on celluloid.
Well, definitely. And so
just fucking entertain me. I don't want to goddamn discuss it.
All right. If that is the case, and that's the case of the people listening to the podcast, just want entertainment. You don't want to discuss it. This is not the movie for you. It's really not entertaining, you know? Like, right. Like a Gene Kelly movie would be entertaining, you know?
Ah, Gene Kelly.
But what it ended, and my wife didn't like it.
Zac Efron's gay.
She didn't like it, right? And I don't know if I liked it or not, but the thing that I appreciated about it is it made me think about a lot of things. And if you, I take that back.
Well, what did you not, what did you see in it that you've never seen in it?
There's one scene in it that was so goddamn disturbing as a parent, and that's why I'm going to recommend it to you. I think every parent should see this movie. Every parent with kids has to see this movie.
Why?
Because there's something that they present that's talked about that you kind of know a little bit about, but they get into so much detail that I start thinking, well, you know, somebody in my family is just like that guy.
Oh, man. Yeah, but that's either one person's perception because they lived it, or that's their perception in their art because that's the way they see it.
Well, we had that discussion today. So this film, even though the wife didn't like it, we're still talking about it a day later. And the discussion was, this whole thing that we saw, was the writer writing it from a perspective of the victim or the perspective of the perpetrator? The perp.
The perp.
Huh? And they put so much detail in there. And I think you could probably do it with research, but then you'd end up like Pete Townsend, you know?
Yeah.
Pete Townsend's doing research, and pretty soon they got him on child porn charges. Hey, but he's just doing research. Yeah, right. Plus, with the W watch and everything you do know.
Right, right.
Damn W. So, happiness. I think the performances from in the whole, everybody did a great job. I was, John Lovitz, again, he blew my expectations away. Also, Marla Maples is in this movie. Who is Marla Maples? That name is familiar to me, but who is she?
Yeah, I don't, yeah.
Is she an actress? Or
yeah.
Marla Maples, was she married to Trump or something? Or was she the one who Gary Hart got caught with on a boat?
I don't know.
She's in the movie. She plays a realtor. But I enjoyed it. Made me think. And made me look at from a different perspective. At people and people that I know.
Yeah.
So I felt that...
sure, man. I mean,
an education occurred.
I don't need to fucking see a movie to give me that same... Because I'm not like...
you have that feeling now?
Dude,
after you see this movie, times it by 10.
No,
yeah,
way.
Yeah, way. Way.
Because I'm not like Penn Jillette. I don't think that everybody's all nice and...
Yeah, I never got that about Penn Jillette.
We have a code because of my paranoia that... only certain people can be called uncle or aunt because that's the people we trust our kids with their lives.
Oh, now I'm going back and trying to remember if Nathan or Shannon ever called me uncle.
They do all the time.
All right.
Uncle Scott.
I'm in the in crowd. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Right on.
Yeah. And Dawn, her kids have a code. You have to say a certain code word. And if you don't, they won't get in your car.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So it's like, actually, Joe, one of our guests on the show, he was told to pick them up from school.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, or he's picking his kids up or something from school or football. And they called and said, hey, could you pick up our son, too, while you're there? Yeah, no problem. Goes over to pick them up, and their son says, I can't go with you. Why not? Well, you have to say the secret word.
And Joe didn't know it?
Joe didn't know it. He's like, what secret? What are you talking about?
Did he have to get on the phone?
Yeah, he had to get on the phone, and he had to find out what the secret word is, and then he said it, and then their son went with him.
That's out of sight. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing, interesting thing about this movie, that some of the themes and topics are so... it was like the movie I saw before that just... Georgia Rule. Georgia Rule, you get enraged watching this movie, but then they play with that. They flip, is it a truth or a lie? And you get enraged about one thing, and then it's a different perspective. You get enraged about another thing. But this one, you just get goddamn enraged. I mean, unbelievably enraged, but it's a black comedy, so... Right after you're in a fucking rage, they throw some shit in there that makes you crack up. What made me crack up, made my wife look at me like I was...
What are you, sick?
Right on.
You're one of them.
No.
Nice. Yeah.
So now you have to see it. I want to know what you think.
No doubt.
Being a parent and all. Happiness.
My wife and I don't watch movies together.
You can see it by yourself.
It's in the theater.
In the theater. All right, what else? You went
I went to this surprise birthday party. Man, I had the busiest fucking weekend.
Birthday.
Since Thursday. Oh, my son, man. They won their divisional or conference
in
championship.
Football. American football.
Championship. They won it. They were the team picked to not win a single game all year.
And they won it? That's like the Bad News Bears, man.
They won their division and they won the championship yesterday.
You know, that would have been
I was fucking crying. I was choking back tears, man. And I look around and a whole bunch of other dads are bawling. The wives are like, oh, Jesus
Christ. That gives me a great idea. Is your son going to play on the same team next year?
Yeah, probably.
Could do a documentary.
Oh, yeah, right.
I don't know if it would be as dramatic as somebody who wasn't expected to win a game to winning the championship and then having all the old men cry. But
I love you, son. Yeah, that was pretty exciting. So, anyways, yesterday, finally get home. We got to get ready for this party. It's at the Drake Hotel, this really prestigious...
Prestigious. In Chicago?
Yeah.
For football?
No. This is for the surprise party.
Oh, for the surprise party.
Ready to go there later.
Right on.
After the football. And the wife, Zach, and his lovely wife came with us.
Mm-hmm.
Zach, who is famous for...
I make fake foreskins.
How come I didn't get invited?
I don't know. You'll have to take that up with Marty.
Yeah, I'll remember that.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that, man. But anyways, so we got to go to... The wife's got a parking pass because she says, it's like $45 to park there.
$45?
I don't know. Some bullshit shit she made up. So we get down there and... I hate fucking walking.
No, really?
I hate it. I hate... If we're going to get somewhere, I want to just... If we're going to go out, spend some dough on a nice night out... I don't want to be walking all up and down the fucking city unless we know exactly where we're going.
Understood. That's why it was such a nightmare for you in New York with Papooch in charge.
Oh, my God. Well, you're only there a limited time, and unless you're walking to see the sights, that's great. But if you're walking to get somewhere, like that bar to party all night long, you want to get there and get your party going. That's
you want to get it going on.
I want to get it going on.
Right on.
So, and I didn't wear the appropriate shoes for walking. So.
Why did you have to walk? You had this $45 parking.
That's parking pass, you know.
You think you would get out of your car and walk right into the party for $45?
No fucking idea. I asked the wife, why do we have to park over here? She says, because that's what the pass. I go, did you check that out? Did you, you know? She didn't ask me to look into anything. It's a friend of hers. We park where she lives, and then we walk 7 blocks to the fucking hotel. I'm like, holy fuck! Next time, drop me off, and then you park the car and walk it.
I don't understand that at all. You paid $45 to park
and
then walk 7 blocks.
No, she says. We need this parking pass because it's $45 to park in a garage.
Right.
So this parking pass gives us free parking.
I see.
On the street.
On the street.
And it's a friend of hers, and we park outside of her apartment. And I'm like, it looks like a generic parking pass. It says it gives you a zone. So there must be some streets that you can park on with it and streets you cannot. So why do we have to park 7 blocks away? We didn't even go anywhere near the fucking hotel to find out if we could park there. Okay, great. So we got to walk 7 blocks, and I'm bitching about it all the way there.
Well, not only that, but you got to walk 7 blocks when the party's over.
Right, right. So we get there, and we get to this lounge that the party's in. And there's Phil and Marty's brother and a bunch of people that got it together. And they're in this room, I swear to God, Scott, is like 7 feet wide by 12 feet long.
That's the room?
That's the room. And they got like 30 people jammed in there. And it's hotter than somebody's fucking asshole after running 4 miles.
That's like a waiting room then, right?
No.
Waiting to get into the...
This was the restaurant / lounge area to sit for this get together. It's a really small place. I walk, I'm like, and there's nowhere to sit. My wife just finds a spot, asks some people to move over. She sits down. There's not a fucking place for me to sit. Now I'm sweating my ass
off. Wait a minute.
My back hurts.
You've walked 7 blocks.
I've walked 7 blocks.
And you can't sit down. And then you got another 7 block walk coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, fuck this. So I leave. I walk around. I come back. Nowhere to sit still. I said, fuck this shit. I'm leaving. I walk out, walk up the stairs, and I go into another lounge called the Palm Court. It's fucking huge. I'm thinking, why didn't they fucking do it in here? There's these big sofas to sit on. There's this jazz band playing, a fountain in the middle.
Why didn't you go back and say, hey, come on over here? Or was it like an open bar?
No, because we were waiting for Marty and his wife to show up, and then we would have switched places.
It was a surprise.
Surprise! Okay. So fuck it. I just sat in there. I text messaged my wife where I was, ordered myself a Grey Goose with a martini with blue cheese olives. Kicked back, soaked in the tunes, had a nice glass of ice water, pounded about two martinis. Zach starts calling me, trying to answer the phone. Wherever he is, it's not picking up or something. Keep getting disconnected. Finally get a hold of him. I said, I'm in the Palm Court. Oh, upstairs? Yeah. Why? I go, it's too fucking hot in there. I'm not going to be in there. I go, did the guest of honor show up? Yeah. Yeah, she did. I said, okay, that's great. Well, maybe I'll go down later. I'm sitting up here, so when you guys are done partying, either come up here or let me know and I'll meet you at the car. So Zach comes up and joins me. He has a couple of drinks. Finally, my wife and Deirdre show up, and they're like, oh, this is fucking much better. Why didn't you tell us? I go, hey, I text messaged you. You know, I'm not going to go back in there. You fucking sat down. You had your feet up. You were relaxed. So I had nowhere to sit. And I wasn't going to stand in that little hallway and have the fucking maitre d' bump into me 75 times in a place that charges $12 a drink.
Yeah, so this when you first started the story, I was like, oh, 40th birthday party at the Drake. I wonder if it was better than the kick-ass 40th birthday party at Gibson's. You remember that one?
I do. Do you?
Remember that?
Do you remember it?
Yeah, I remember it. It was out of sight.
No, yours was pretty damn good. But I stayed there. So I ended up going down to say happy birthday and say, you know, tell them where we were. And Marty's all fucked up. His wife can barely stand.
They're both fucked up?
Yeah, they're just fucking completely hammered.
So did they get fucked up when they showed up, or were they fucked up
They were fucked up before they got there, I heard.
Wait.
Yeah.
All right.
So Marty's signing the bill, and I said, hey, man, we're upstairs in the Palm. Come on up there. There's a lot more room. And by the time they got up there, we had to leave. But
why?
I was so
you had to leave.
Yeah, I was so fucked up. I had 5 martinis, and I was blah blah blah.
So you worked it off on the 7-block walk?
No, no. I said we're getting the fucking cab.
Oh, you got the cab.
And we walk out, and there's a van right there.
Well, who drove home then?
The wife.
Nice.
She drove there and home. I'm like, no, I'll drive. I'm like, okay.
Okay. Whatever you say, Harvey.
So, yeah, that was fucking out of sight. So we get home, and I must have fell asleep on the couch till 3 in the morning. And woke up actually feeling pretty good, but god damn it. Like right around when the Bears game came on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't keep my eyes open to save my life.
Back to sleep.
Plus, it was the worst fucking boring ass game I've ever seen.
I only saw the last 2 minutes. Now, Greasy wasn't in. Did he get hurt?
Yeah.
Did they really like nail him? He's out for the season?
I don't know.
So we were stuck with Grossman?
Yeah. He threw a fucking bomb.
I saw that. That's right when I turned it on. I saw it. I turned it on right after that happened.
Dude's got an arm, man.
So they were showing the replays. They're not going to make it. How about fucking Green Bay?
Yeah.
8-1. And they beat a pretty good team today, didn't they?
Yeah.
The Vikings?
Yeah. Shut them out and fucking, well, no, they're not that great. I mean.
Well, they got this running back who is a rookie and is totally ran right over the fucking Bears.
They're tied with the Bears now.
Tied with the Bears. Who, the Vikings?
Yeah.
All right, then.
And Favre, look at this guy. In the time that he's been with Green Bay, the Bears have had like 21 quarterbacks.
Wow.
In the time that they've had one.
Favre.
Yeah, Favre.
Unbelievable, John. Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, I got a doctor's appointment coming up on Tuesday.
Me too.
On Tuesday?
Monday.
Physical? Tomorrow. You got a physical?
No.
Oh, I got the physical.
Nice.
Yeah.
Moon River.
Right on. I talked to my doctor on the phone. Yeah. Go ahead, set up the physical, spend about 45 minutes, maybe an hour. We'll get you all physicaled up.
Takes that long for a physical?
I guess so. I don't know if he likes to talk about it before
he shoves it up your sphincter.
Right. Right on. So I got that coming up on Tuesday. Now, my previous doctor was Dr. Shaw.
Oh, yeah.
An Indian woman with small hands. My new doctor, Dr. Kells.
Yeah.
He's bigger than I am, and I was looking at his hands.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if he played football or what, but
no,
his hands
knuckles.
Are all jacked up, and he's got these big fingers with these
big knuckles,
arthritic knuckles.
Yeah. It's going to be like a big ribbed dildo going up your ass. You just wait, man. Yeah, bend over. This is the uncomfortable part.
Well, I was thinking about...
For who?
I was thinking about that pole smoker, Larry Craig.
Yeah.
The senior who had the one guy over and ass raped him and then wouldn't let him wipe before he left. I'm just hoping Dr. Kells lets me wipe, you know, before.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah, you want to go in there and wipe off before you...
Oh, no, not my doctor. He doesn't do that. He just gives me a tissue and I got to wipe right there.
With one tissue?
With him standing there, yeah. And the first time I did it, my finger poked through the tissue and went right up my ass again.
Now, do you go around the back or you go from front? Which way?
I go around the back.
You go around the back? And then you kind of lift the cheek over?
Pull it up my back.
Right on. Yeah, I think that's pretty standard.
Yeah.
Is that, you think it's genetically inherited or it's a learned behavior?
I think it's just easier. Why? What were you thinking? You pull from the back across the balls?
No. I was maybe going from the front, you know, between the legs.
Yeah.
And then coming, pulling.
That's fucked up, man.
Does anybody do that? I don't know. Maybe, I wonder if it's like European or... You know what? We could put a proposal together, and we could probably get the government to pay for this study.
You pull the shit up to your towards your genitalia?
Right.
That would seem unclean.
That would seem unclean. Very. We've already talked about that and how unclean I feel now that I'm gluten-free. A couple of podcasts we want to talk about, John.
Yeah?
Opus Cuel. Opus Cuel. This is my cousin's podcast. It's got to be one of the worst podcasts out there. They do it every Sunday night.
Why do you break bad on your cousin? He's working hard.
It's constructive criticism, okay?
This is the worst fucking podcast ever.
I didn't say that. I said it's got to be one of the worst. Now, I haven't heard everything, but I've heard this. Now, the one thing they used to have going for it is my cousin, I don't know how they record this thing, but there's one mic. One mic, right?
Oh, yeah.
And there's like five people. So my cousin would be right up on the mic, and then the other five people would have to yell so that you could even barely hear him.
Right.
Here's the genius idea they came up with. Let's put the mic in the middle of the room.
Ah.
Now you can't hear anybody. I mean, what are they thinking?
Here's what they get to solve that. This will solve it.
Give it up.
It's called a boundary mic. You can get them at Radio Shack. Boundary mic is it's pretty heavy, and it just sits right in the middle of the table, and it's very sensitive, and it picks up the entire room. And because it's on a table, you leave it on a flat, not tablecloth table, a flat wooden table, because it'll pick up the bass that way, or a PZM pressure sensitive zone microphone. Also works as well. The boundary mic is also a PZM.
You know,
and it's like $40.
Shoot me all this in an email, and I'll forward it to him. Now, and that makes me think, okay, this is why this guy should have been producer of the year. I could ask him this question. Not even ask him. I just make a statement. And you give me the audio solution. Producer of the year. But no.
Thank you so much.
Nominee for producer of the year, but you lost to who? Digital Flotsam?
Yeah.
Come on. Anyway. That's a nice segue into the next podcast I'd like to talk about, the Smodcast. The Smodcast. Now, this is Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier. Scott Mosier's off somewhere. Who knows what he's doing? So Kevin Smith has his two friends in, Brian Johnson and Walt Flanagan. So there's three of them, and I'm assuming they have three mics, but I don't know. So you got Kevin Smith talking.
I don't think that's his real name, Walt Flanagan.
What do you think his real name is?
I don't know, but I think Walt Flanagan is. There wasn't one of our listeners, Walt Flanagan?
At one point, yeah.
I think it has to do with the character. Well, maybe it is the guy's real name.
It could be. Who knows?
Character and clerk.
So Scott Mosier's not there, so he's got these two friends of his in. And I'm assuming they have three mics, but I'm not sure. And here's the deal. So Kevin Smith is talking, and I should have cut a clip out, but I didn't. So Kevin Smith is telling a story, and the guy's a great storyteller. And here's Walt Flanagan.
No.
Like right into the mic. And then when they want to talk to Brian Johnson.
Yeah, so anyway. I met
it's like
Kevin.
Special ed.
We met in 88. I don't know when we met.
Imagine if we did the whole show like this.
We need to reach out to Kevin Smith and say, dude, man.
This works out great, though, doesn't it?
It does. Well, my expectations.
You got to have a gate. You have to have a gate to kill that room noise.
Here's a guy that makes movies for a living. That's what he does for a job. And to me, movies are half video, half audio.
You should talk, dumbass, Mr. Microphone the other night.
That's why I'm saying I rely on you for the audio. So that's why you need to reach out to a Kevin Smith. Just shoot the guy an email and say, look, dude.
Hey, man.
Just give me a call. Here's my Skype number, whatever. Your show sounds like fucking shit.
The show sounds like shit,
production-wise, and I can straighten you out, all right? Just get somebody who has any ability to plug shit into a wall. Let me talk to them on the phone. I'm going to tell them what to buy. They're going to buy it. I'm going to tell them how to set it up. They're going to set it up, and you're going to be on the level of a TTN production-wise.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we need to reach out to a Kevin Smith and get her done, John.
Get her done.
Because some shows I can take, some shows I can leave. But when I am into it, the audio drives me fucking bananas, man.
Totally.
Berserker. It drives me berserker, John.
I know. It's got to be, it's got to sound good.
It does have to sound good. Especially if it's a podcast. That's audio. It's all audio.
Yeah.
Damn it, John. Damn it. All right.
Damn it, Jim.
One last podcast I want to talk to. Now, Punky, the great Punky from the UK. Uniting fans and bands across the lands, John.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have time. I meant to pull out a clip from when we produced the show and pull out a clip from when Tony Hearn produced the show to show the discrepancy in production quality.
But.
This latest podcast, Tony Hearn managed to pull it together. And
really?
Who knows? Maybe it's because we called him on it. I don't know. But he did pull it together for this latest podcast. But in this podcast, the great Pauly B had a statement for TTN. It's quite a long statement, so I broke it up into five parts so that we can go ahead and play each part.
All right.
And then comment and or retort to a Pauly B in his prepared statement.
All right.
So go ahead with Punky number one.
I have some Toto Talk Nonsense issues.
Okay.
Right. Issues, John. He's got issues.
They're getting rather podcasty.
No,
I've not looked for about a week. So if there's been a very recent one, I haven't heard it. I'm going back to the couple that did before when Scott had some issues about me. Now I have prepared a statement.
Okay,
I've prepared a statement, right?
Yes.
So this isn't part of the statement. TotalTalkNonsense.com.
Yes.
Great podcast.
Great podcast. Great guys.
I reckon it's the second best podcast out there.
John's my favourite. Who's yours?
John.
Scott's you love me. Weirdo.
He's a geek.
He's a geek? Oh,
beg my pardon. And
that was you.
Beg my pardon.
All right.
So
yeah.
John's their favorite. Scott's a geek. Now, we're going to play the second
clip
here.
You're hurt by that. That's what's driving you nuts all week.
Being called a geek. I don't care what anybody calls me. It doesn't matter to me. I know what I am. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
That's right.
You
perception is reality.
You think, therefore you are.
Right on. All right, now in the second clip, Pauly B says something, and I've listened to this 10 times, and I cannot understand what he's saying here. I believe it's a comment about me. And somebody help me out. John, if you can understand it, let
John!
Me know. So let's go ahead and play the whole clip. And after the clip, try to figure out what Pauly B says here.
Should we make it a contest?
It could be a contest. I don't know. I never listen with headphones on, so maybe with the headphones on, with the cans on, we'll be able to understand it. I don't know.
Right.
Go ahead.
Here we go.
That was you. Beg my pardon. Now that we're 1,000 miles away from him, I can say, Scott, you need to punch that Rick Blake.
All right, that was it. What was that? Did you understand that?
No.
Did you play it again? We'll try it one more time.
Beg my pardon. Now that we're 1,000 miles away from him, I can say, Scott, you need to punch that big bloke.
You need a punch there, big bloke.
You need to punch that big bloke.
You need a punch there, big bloke.
I need a punch there, big bloke.
You need it.
Oh, I need it.
He's going to punch you in the fucking face.
Somebody needs to punch me? Why? Because I'm a geek?
Punch there, big bloke.
If you're a geek, why do you need to be punched? You're a geek.
I don't know. He's drunk, man.
Here's what I'm thinking. If somebody's a geek, they're
going
to have to live as a geek the rest of their lives. Why do you need to punch him on top of it? That's what I'm thinking.
He's an angry little man.
All right, start over again.
5'4"?
Because I don't believe you there.
That was you. Beg my pardon. Now that we're 1,000 miles away from him, I can say, Scott, you need to punch that Rick Blake.
You said that at the time.
Yeah, well, he didn't listen.
When you was 3 meters away.
He didn't listen.
No.
We watched a video tonight.
Oh, man.
That's good, isn't it?
No. How embarrassing was that? And they put it on their website, which is really great to know.
Well, that's why they've done it, because it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Because they know we're the best, and they're trying to bring us down a peg or two. Just like, we've only got matching jumpers on. That's freaking
It's nice. It's because it's cold over here.
TTN. Here goes. My prepared statement. All right. Festivus Tet Anus was indeed great fun, but I didn't feel very comfy on stage, as they mentioned me not being very comfy on stage, because by the time we got on, I was pissed, and I was pissed. See what I've done there?
I see what you've done there.
Yeah. I never go on stage drunk and hate being out of control with a mic in my hand. It was a rare example of me being unprofessional. I sounded terrible on the previous podcast, as discussed, because my voice was so bad. You know, that's what we're going on about.
Yeah.
They think you've messed about with the levels.
Yeah.
But needless to say, I will be watching what you do with the board, Tony.
All right.
So he heard.
So there's, I don't think what you think he said is accurate because of what he said afterwards. Because he said he told it to my face. So that's not something you tell to somebody's face that you want to punch.
You didn't hear it.
Yeah, I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
But then the other thing is.
I've told you that. You need a fucking hit in the head with a bat.
You did? You've told me that?
Yeah.
Why? Because I'm a geek?
I don't know. You said to me one time, he goes, you know, one of these days we're going to go a couple rounds. I said, when that day comes, I'm going to bring a fucking baseball bat. You go, you need a fucking baseball bat. You need a bat. Like, yeah, you're right. I'm not going to break my fucking hands on that skull of yours.
You're going to need a bat.
You're
going
to need a fucking bat.
For me to take away.
I don't make monkeys. I train them.
And jam up.
Eat my ass and turn me into a big popsicle.
All right, so I still don't understand what he said at the very first part of that clip, which he told me in person, which I don't remember.
My pardon. Now, and now that we're 1,000 miles away from him, I can say, Scott, you need to punch that rick bloke.
You said that at the time.
Yeah, well, he didn't listen.
When you was 3 meters away.
Here's what I think he said. You need to punch that big bloke. Right? Is that right? You need to punch that big bloke.
No.
That's not it.
Why would he need to be 1,000 miles away?
You need to punch
to have
that
the courage
big bloke
to say that.
Maybe he's talking about Rick. I don't know. He was upset with Rick.
That was you. Big my pardon.
You need to punch that big bloke.
Now that we're 1,000 miles away from him, I can say, Scott, you need to punch that Rick bloke.
That big bloke. You need to punch that big bloke.
Oh, I need to punch their big bloke. Okay, so if he said that to me in person, you need to punch there, big bloke.
Yeah. You need a punch in the fucking face. That's what he was saying.
All right, so, okay, let's move on.
That's why he's confident saying it 1,000 miles away.
His first statement.
You don't kick his 5'4 ass.
His first statement.
Which he's actually 6-something, right?
His first statement is he was not comfy. Who uses that word comfy on stage?
Well, they were a little liquored up.
Which is what we said.
Yeah,
I said, I don't think he was comfortable. That's what I was surprised by. A Pauly B.
They were so
who's a comedian,
drunk. They could
I don't
hardly
think was,
stand.
I got the sense wasn't comfortable on stage. So he says he wasn't comfortable on stage. So I was right. Okay. There's one. Mark that up. Scott Wright, one. All right, let's move
You're
on.
You're winning 1-0. Oh, my God. Fucking retard.
I had a great time with John and Scott. I did. And enjoyed mucking about with their kids. That sounds wrong.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, that
of
little
course,
giggle.
Wives. Nudge, nudge. Tell I'm prepared.
Sounds less wrong.
Yeah. I do admit, though, that it's easier to bounce off more people vis-a-vis when we did the punky over there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I make no secret about the fact that I do really enjoy holding court. Oh, and Air at My Shorts told me that they'd quit.
Yeah.
Which is why I said it to you, John and Scott.
Yeah.
And then they started again. I suppose one of them must have been drunk again.
All right, so then the second thing he has.
I win 1-0.
Is another thing that I said. I said he seemed much more.
Drunk?
No. When we did the podcast and we were all here.
Yeah.
He had you, me, Stephen C., and Tony Hearn.
He's on vacation.
And he just seemed much more lively on top of it. Cutting edge. Give me some other metaphors.
Outstanding.
And again, he agrees with me. Yes. He's better when he has to bounce off more people, if you will. So again, I'm right again. So what is his statement here? Go ahead, play the next one.
I win 1-0.
I suppose one of them must have been drunk again. Oh, who knows? And what's Punky ever done for them? This is working on the basis that they do continue to make out that without them, we'd be nothing.
Right? Okay.
Did we ever say that?
Well,
no.
Here goes. We've spent hundreds of pounds, psycho pounds, coming to see them. We've bigged them up. We've got them something to fucking talk about every week. We've guested on their shows, and we've provided half of their cunting sound bites. I think that's enough. What have they done for us? Fuck all.
Come on!
Put us up in Chicago, which was nice.
Yeah, how much did it cost them? Yeah, stay at my house. Scott didn't even know what day I was coming.
That ungrateful fucking goddamn limey. What have we done for them? I'm being punky now.
Yeah.
Now, he talks about spending thousands or hundreds of pounds. Wasn't their airfare free?
I guess, yeah.
It was free.
That's what I heard.
Okay, so the airfare is free because they sold out to Adam Curry or whoever.
Yeah.
So they get free airfare over here, and we put them up. So now their stay is free. That's
right,
free, too.
Right.
But he turns it around. What does it cost us to put them up in our house?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Like it's nothing on us.
Inconvenienced our families, they weren't at my house. Except for two nights, I think.
Well, two nights. And that's the other thing.
Which I don't care.
It wasn't like they were here the whole week. Well, Tony was, but Paulie B shows up for one day and he cuts out to Dallas.
Yeah.
And then he makes his way back up north.
Oh, by the way,
I couldn't remember what day he was coming.
Tony, Kevin died.
What?
Rick wanted me to tell you that Kevin died.
The fish?
Yeah.
The fish Kevin
died?
He
jumped out, and Rick came home, and he was laying in the drain. And then Rick put him back in the water, and he swam for a couple of days, and he was floating. Yeah.
Well, I think we need a
monum of science?
Well, Kevin...
monum of science.
...is a fish that Rick's kids bought for Tony, right?
Yeah.
Was it a goldfish?
No, it was a betta.
A betta.
Like a fighting fish.
A fighting fish. So Rick's kids picked out this fish for Tony, Kevin?
Yeah.
And Kevin is no longer with us, John.
No.
I think we need a moment of silence. Okay, that's enough. So, I don't even know what I was talking about.
We put them up and,
what has Punky ever done for us?
Right.
They spent £100 to what?
Come
to do what?
Come and guest on our show.
Yeah. But Paulie B didn't even guest on our show. He went to the Dallas.
No, we guested on his show.
Yeah, we guested on his
and then
show.
Tony guested on our show, his choice.
It's his choice.
And I believe last year when we weren't really planning to do a podcast, it was Paulie B that kept wanting us to do it.
Right. We didn't want to do it. But we did it. I got hammered. I couldn't make it for the first part.
You threw up.
I made it for the second and the third part. Right on. Yeah. So,
I don't know. I think I have audio somewhere of them, of Paulie B saying that he would talk about us on every single show.
Really? And then every single one of his shows?
Yes, because we helped them so much get established.
You know, and this is just from recollection, John, but I heard their podcast, and I heard it through Podcast Alley, and I was like, hey, John, you got to hear this podcast. These guys are fucking great. And you got turned on to it, but they couldn't get their iTunes feed figured out. So in one email, I got Tony Hearn to get the right goddamn tags in, and they got eventually they would have got their iTunes iFeed, whatever, RSS feed figured out. But I think we went out of our way to get those guys online, as it were. And this is the payback.
And you got them a cheaper IP.
Yeah, I got them a cheaper IP, but then now they got the cheaper one with the GoDaddy, because they're in bed with Adam Curry.
No, I think they tried to...
smoking his pole.
They tried to return the favor. We got a bunch of emails from Paulie B that he wanted us to be part of that live feed, and he wanted us to be on the same thing that they're doing, this GoDaddy and the pod show. But you wanted nothing to do with it. Fuck that, man. They fuck with their content. Fuck that.
Right.
Yeah. So I wouldn't.
You got to be in control of your content. I mean, let's say we signed up, right? And who knows what we get. Maybe we get like $2,000 a week. I don't know. But for $2,000 a week, would you want Adam Curry at the beginning and the end of our podcast? Promoting himself?
Well, I guess it depends. It depends on what the contract is. If obviously to make money in that any kind of media business, you have to share that, unless you're actually going out directly to the fans and they're paying for it. But obviously, the only thing that is making anybody money is advertising.
Right on. Well, our mission statement is not to ever make the fans pay for it. That's my mission statement.
To what? To not have them pay for it?
We don't want the fans to have to pay for it.
Well, essentially they are. Because listening would mean they would have to listen to an advertisement.
Not necessarily. I mean, if we can drive everybody to our site and then have some advertisements on our site that they can ignore.
Like a forum. Oh, no, we don't have one of those.
That's right. Our forum's been down for over a week, which I can really give a rat's ass about. But other people are kind of upset that the forum has been down for a week, John.
Lori, Stefan C.
Right on.
No doubt. Did you want to play this last sound clip?
So I wonder what Spenny has up her sleeve. Yeah, there's one more punky sound clip. Now, this one, and I can't believe, we could talk about this after the clip, but this is unbelievable to me. Unbelievable, right. John. Go ahead.
I've got an issue.
I've been there to buy dinner.
Oh, you haven't got an issue about that?
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Well, it says alcohol cast.
Alcohol cast. Oh, it's just something I started up.
Yeah?
Yeah. When we started podcasting, we thought, what we've got to do is do one with a band, and it never actually happened.
That sounds a bit TTN.
Actually, it's quite TTN-y. In a good way.
TTN in a good way, John.
Yeah.
So the TTN we're doing is in a bad way. The other thing about this is, Pauly B had no idea.
Pauly
B had no idea about alcohol cast. Okay, so you got Punky, Pauly B, Tony Hearn.
I think he's complimenting our show by saying TTN in a good way.
No, I think he's saying TTN, but in a good way.
But better?
Right. That's what I think he's saying. No. So you got.
I think he's saying we didn't rip it off. We are copying their format because they're so fucking awesome.
So it's I'm at a loss, John. Imitation is the highest form of flattery.
Right.
That's what you're saying to me. I disagree. When I hear that, TTN, but in a better way, it means, yeah, just like TTN, but much better. That's what I hear. I guess it's all based on your belief system.
But you need fucking therapy.
Don't
man.
I? But yeah. The other fascinating thing about this clip is guess how Pauly B, and this is
how
an assumption,
he out about
how
it,
he found out about yeah. it, is listening to us. Because we mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Hearn has a podcast,
that hurts,
Alcohol
man.
Cast. So Tony Hearn doesn't even tell.
Yeah,
Pauly B.
I'd be a little upset if I found out you had the Scott cast.
Right, the Scott cast. Like, let's say I did like five episodes, and then Pauly B's talking about the Scott cast. I mean, what is going on there?
Why wouldn't you say anything? Well, what's the big deal? Well, you know, at some point it would be like, one of the main things we have in common is that we do this thing, and we talk about it, and yeah, it's cool. You want to do your own thing, but why wouldn't you be excited to talk about it?
Or why wouldn't you just mention it to me? Hey, I'm doing this other podcast. Especially if you're a member of Punky, you'd say, hey, let's promote my new podcast.
Right, right.
But no, Pauly B found out about it. And again, this is an assumption, but I think he found out about it from us when we talked about Alcohol Cast. So a Tony Hearn can't even tell a Pauly B that he's doing another podcast.
Wow.
I think that's dysfunctional, John.
It's a dysfunctional relationship.
Dysfunctional. Not like us. Ours is very functional.
It's all right. I got dirt on both of them.
Do you?
Yeah, for that one day.
Right on.
For that one day. So, Pauly B, don't forget me when you get really famous.
Right.
I got the dirt.
The dirt.
Here's a little bit of it.
Oh, fuck. All right, John, I got a couple of emails. We got a TTN correction.
Yeah?
TTN correction. Kieran Kennedy says, Thunder Horse, subject line Thunder Horse, catching up on shows, and you say that Thunder Horse is by Deathalbum, but it's by
Deathalbum.
Deathlock.
Deathalbum.
Of the animated show Metalocalypse. Metalocalypse, man. So you said Thunder Horse by Deathalbum.
Yeah.
But it's by Deathlock.
Yeah.
Right. So how do you, are you going to defend yourself here, or are you going to just say, yes, that's correct? We need
Dude,
a TTN
correction.
Dude,
didn't I read that on the last, on fucking 2 weeks ago?
How could you read it 2 weeks ago? I just got this today. This email showed up today.
Today?
Today. November 11th.
No, I talked about it because the guy asked me to say Metalocalypse like three times.
Right, he asked you to say Metalocalypse, but he never mentioned Thunder Horse.
Are you sure?
It's by Deathalbum.
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 But it's by Deathlock.
Right.
Right. So what is Deathalbum? That's the name of the album?
That's what I read on the site, from his site.
All right, then. Moving on. We got this one from the great Stephen C. Subject line, Spenny in the Forum. Hi, John and Scott. Just a quick email to express my concern about the forum. It seems to have gone missing for well over a week. Do you think Spenny has lost it somewhere? So he's concerned. I'm starting to get concerned, John.
Concerned?
Because Spenny said it would be 1 or 2 days, right?
Yeah.
It's been over a week.
Yeah.
So what's happening?
I think Pauly B and Tony Hearn paid her off.
You think so?
Now that you got the administrative rights, shut it down.
Here's what I'm thinking. My expectations are so goddamn high that she is manipulating and massaging and creating the greatest forum ever on the web. And when it finally is released, that's what my expectations are, that it's going to be the greatest forum ever in the history of the world. And anything short of that, I'm going to be like, well, what was going on?
Gosh, shut up! You piece of shit!
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, man. I hear you,
All
brother.
Right, now, we got this one from Way of the Bob. Now, last week, Way of the Bob was the winner of Redneck Recital when we had Satan as a guest, and he did Redneck Recital. But we had some confusion about his email because in the subject line, he had the answer to Redneck Recital, which was the Beck song, Satan Gave Me a Taco. But then in the detail of his email, he mentioned, in response to Satan's question regarding the song lyrics in episode 108, I would like to put forward my answer. The Birdie song, The Tweets, which confused us, John. It confused us.
Right.
We were confused, so he sent us an email. And he said, hey guys, sorry for my little joke. I mistakenly assumed that the U.S. had also had to endure the most annoying song in the world ever at every single family function since the 80s, like us Brits. I've attached the MP3 of it just to make more sense. To be honest, I didn't expect to win, and I won't hold you to sending me a prize, but if you insist, and then he gives his address, so I will definitely be sending him a prize, and it's a very spectacular prize. You think he's an XL, John? An XL? Extra large?
No, he's bigger than that. He's got to be a 2.
You think he's a double 2X, XL?
Yeah.
Yeah?
All maybe right. Bigger.
Yeah, maybe it'll translate. XL, maybe he's double XL in the UK. So go ahead and let's play the first Way of the Bob click. Do you know which one that is?
Yeah.
Go ahead and play. Now, here's what he's talking about, the Birdie song.
I'm playing it, man. I don't hear it.
So you're playing it and nothing's happening?
Yeah.
All right, we got some issues here. We got some big issues here.
It gave an error earlier.
Really?
Yeah.
I was able to play it at home. What are you trying to play it on?
I've played it. This is the third device I'm opening. Third device.
Third device. I played it with Microsoft Media Player.
Tried that.
And it gave you an error.
Oh, here we go. Oh, my God. It's not the Birdie song.
It's the Chicken Dance.
It's the Chicken Dance.
That's what we call it here in the States, the Chicken Dance. Yeah, we know about this song. This is only played, he says it's played at all family functions.
Yeah, and weddings.
But
weddings
here it's only played at weddings. That's the only time
now,
I've heard it here.
When my wife and I got married, we had, you were there.
Mm-hmm.
We had a DJ, and then we had a live band. And when the DJ came over to my house, I gave him a stack of CDs. I said, you're going to play these songs and these songs only. And if you play the Chicken Dance and Celebration, you're fired.
And the Chicken Dance in the UK is known as the
Birdie Song.
Birdie Song. Right.
Do, 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 do.
So we are very familiar with the song, but under another title.
Right.
It is not the Tweety song or whatever.
The Tweety.
It is the Chicken song.
Chicken Dance.
All right. Now, he goes on to say, I recently bought my first iMac ever, and it came with GarageBand, which is bitching for an indoor kid musician like me. And I thought I'd help you out for a future round of recording. So, The Way of the Bob. The Way of the Bob has submitted something that we can use. It's Redneck Recital.
Wow.
But like a UK version.
Yeah.
This is a UK version of Redneck Recital. All right. Hold on now, John.
What's it called?
It's called... I am not sure. Let me think about that.
Benny Hill lyrics?
There, no, that's what we just... Yes, yes!
Yeah.
That's it.
Yes!
Yes! All right,
yes!
So let me give an intro. So we have this contest. We've had past winners, and just so yes. You winners know, I am going to do the mailing, the snail mail this week. I don't know how long it'll take you to receive your prizes, but Way of the Bob, I have a very special prize for you. Very special. So here is, instead of Festus Red Peters doing Redneck Recital,
yeah.
We have a listener that is submitting the next entry for the song lyric competition. So what we ask is you listen to this clip, and then the first one to send us what artist and what song you have just heard wins a fabulous TTN prize.
I didn't give it away, did I?
I don't think so, did you?
Well, I said what the name of the title of the fucking thing was.
No. Benny Hill?
Yeah.
No. That's just the backing track.
Oh, okay.
So Benny Hill's the backing track. The Way of the Bob is the narrator here.
The narrator.
The narrator.
All right.
For our next
Festus
lyric
Big Peters
competition. So go ahead and play that whenever you're ready.
Morning, and the sun was gone. Turn on some music to start my day. I lost myself in a familiar song. I closed and I slipped away.
It's out of sight.
All right, so the first email we get, which names the appropriate artist and song title, will win a fabulous TTN prize.
That's out of sight.
Submission from Way of the Bob. Now, we did get one more email, John, we get a lot of emails, but we got one more in the hopper that made it all the way to the TTN show.
Yeah.
And I'll let you go ahead and introduce that.
This was sent to us by Paraboli. Paraboli. Right? Is that the one you're talking about?
That is the one I'm talking about.
He writes, hey, why do guys, do you guys keep misquoting me and attacking me? So much for the exchange of ideas. Someone initiates a debate on the forum and you have to drop a snide attack on them twice a show. Despite the fact I have been one of the show's biggest supporters, you gotta keep busting my balls because we disagree on the Second Amendment. Or why do you got to keep busting my balls? I don't know. I think it's a question. You have to keep calling me out until I write in? Write in? Very unfriendly, boys. Although you did a smiley, one of those emoticons.
Emoticons.
Yeah. I never said I didn't like Ron Paul one bit, as you stated in
109. Wait a minute. Back up.
Yeah.
All right. So we got this listener.
Oh, sorry.
We got a listener that says we are attacking him. Yeah. Now, I don't remember attacking him. Did I attack him?
No.
Did you attack him?
I don't think so.
So, but his perception is that we are attacking him. I do remember mentioning a Paraboli.
Mentioning.
Yes, but about the Second Amendment specifically, or is it other things?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
No. Well, I think what happened was I mentioned I liked Ron Paul. And then on the forum, he personally attacked me.
Personally?
Yeah.
Like ad hominem?
What the fuck? Well, I'd like to bring it up, but there's no forum right now.
Oh, so I can't bring it up. You can't reference the forum because there is no forum.
But he went on this diatribe about how Ron Paul is okay, but Dennis Kucinich is better. And here's why. Because he opposes all types of carry of guns. Basically saying that down with the Second Amendment, and then he tried to give me a lesson.
I disagree with.
On the Second Amendment.
Down with the Second Amendment. I disagree with that.
So then he tried to give me a lesson on the Second Amendment, which is fine. But you know what? It's in the Bill of Rights, and I like it there, and that's where it's going to stay.
It's about the exchange of ideas.
Right.
But he's mentioning personal attacks. Where did we get personal?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Mentioning Dennis Kucinich, right? And
yeah.
His wife. Now, last show we talked about you.
She's a flilf.
A flilf. And since the last show, I have seen a video of Dennis Kucinich and his wife. And what the hell's going on there, John?
What? I don't know. I know.
Dennis Kucinich.
He looks like Eddie Munster.
He looks like Alfred E. Newman.
Alfred E. Newman. If Alfred E. Newman and Eddie Munster had a baby.
That was what it would look like.
That's what it would look
Dennis
like.
Dennis Kucinich. And he's with this,
the hottest,
arguably,
goddamn,
one of the hottest political wives in the history of the world.
It's smart.
So what's going on there, John, is what I want to know.
Dennis,
how does that happen?
He's got to have the biggest fucking pole you've ever seen.
Either
there.
That or he's got the gift of gab or something.
Yeah.
What is it?
I don't know.
It's unbelievable.
He's got some big balls or something. I know he's got big balls. Taking on the Cheney impeachment and saying he's seen a UFO.
I've seen the UFO, John.
Shut up.
When I was in sixth grade, I was actually with three other people when we saw it, when we witnessed it. And it looked like a
Did
laser
you get
pointer.
Abducted and get an anal probe?
No. I didn't get abducted, but we were playing football out in the street. And at one point, we stopped and we looked over. So the street dead-ended into our grammar school.
Yeah.
And then above the grammar school, and this was at night, it looked like somebody had a laser pointer. And they were just, you know, juking and jiving with this laser pointer. But it was the sky. You know, so how do you laser point on the sky? I don't know, but that's what it looked like. So we, for 3 or 4 minutes, we observed this. We all agreed that what we were seeing, it was red, and it would go juke, 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 jive, jive, juke, juke, jive, 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 and then it disappeared. But it lasted for about 3 minutes, and I don't think we've ever discussed it since then.
Yeah,
but at the time we all concurred that it was a UFO.
Yeah, you're fucking retarded.
Unidentified flying object.
Okay, that's so stupid that you even say that.
This was in 1976.
The fact that you say I would say unidentified object, because obviously you saw something and you can't identify it. But to say it's flying.
It was above the school.
Oh, geez.
It appeared to be in the sky.
It appeared to be flying. So
it appeared
wasn't
to be
unidentified.
It was an unidentified
appeared to be flying
appeared
object.
Appeared to be flying object.
Right. It's not a UFO.
We all agreed on it, though. It was not like just one guy.
I'm going to tell you a
field.
Story. I'm going to tell you a story.
All right, tell me a story.
We were in Arizona. It was me, Joe, I think Deirdre, my wife, this guy Tom, who is a total skeptic, a girl, Fran, all of us. We come out of this Mexican restaurant, and we're on our way to a bar. And we're sitting there talking in the parking lot in the back about where we're going to go next. And somebody goes, "Did you see that?" And I go, "What?" We all look, and we're looking off in the distance over a building. "Holy shit, did you see that again? There it is again." And everybody's looking the same direction. They saw the same thing. And it appeared to be like a meteor shower. Constant, over and over again. Different angles. I mean, holy fuck, look at that. And we're all sitting there. It's a fucking meteor shower. It's a meteor shower. And we're all talking, right? And because the brain is kind of programmed to pick out patterns.
Patterns.
I noticed right away, not right away, but after I recognized the pattern, that it was the reflection of oncoming headlights from cars that were, I don't know, about half a mile away. And it was an antenna for a television antenna. So every time a car would come down this frontage road, and you couldn't even hear the cars because it was kind of far away, the headlights would reflect off of the different angles of this metal aerial antenna, and it appeared as if comets or meteors were entering the atmosphere and burning up at a quick rate.
How goddamn arrogant of you to think that you solved one problem that mine is made up, make-believe.
Mine's more plausible.
I'm saying
yours is not.
I had two other people there. We can get them in the show to talk about this red light
so
that looked like a laser pointer.
So then why don't you believe in God and Jesus?
All I'm not saying it was aliens. All I'm saying, it was an unidentified, maybe it was flying,
appeared to be flying object. Whatever.
That's all I'm saying. That's it.
I've never seen a UFO. I don't think they exist.
That's your opinion. All right, so getting back to his wife.
Fucking nuts.
How does that happen?
His wife, would you?
Not only that, I mean, the guy, okay, so he can speak and he can form a sentence and he can put shit together. It says, does he come from a lot of money?
Who?
Kucinich.
I don't know.
Because if
he's a lawyer.
If you and I saw that couple walking down the street, we would think, hey, look at that dad with his daughter. Or we wouldn't think that she was married to him.
Look at Alfred E. Newman's and Eddie Munster's love child.
Right on. All right, John, let's move on.
You don't want me to read any more of this?
That what are you reading?
Parabali's email?
If you want to.
All right.
Do you have any more specific rebuttals?
No. No, he was just, he didn't say he didn't like Ron Paul. He actually said, I liked a lot of things about him, and he was a lot better than every other Republican candidate. I just brought up some critical points on his ideology and its failure to protect us from corporations. And then he cites some quotes from, like, Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln. One from Jefferson is, I hope we shall crush in its birth the aristocracy of our moneyed corporations, which dare already to challenge our government to a trial of strength and bid defiance to the laws of our country. And I totally agree with that. I think that's fucking complete shit that corporations are allowed to infiltrate our government, and laws are being manipulated because of their influence. Their monetary influence.
Laws are manipulated because of not only corporations, but from the Jellicles, John.
Even the Jellicles
can manipulate our laws.
Right, right.
Which is nauseating to me.
So my contention was, then that's a useless part of government that we don't need. We have too much federal government. Is it a fine line to say, okay, is it the government's fault or is it the corporation's fault? Corporations are doing whatever they can to make money. They have to answer to shareholders in a lot of cases, and they got to answer to that by making profits. And I think what they're doing is wrong. I think a lot of the stuff they do is wrong. But if you don't have government in the first place to manipulate, because some of the laws are just re-goddamn-diculous, and you could tell. For instance, a news article comes out and says, hey, there's lead in all these toys, and they get recalled from, you know, Milton Bradley toys. Well, this Christmas isn't going to be so great for those toy manufacturers because they fucked up and they didn't monitor themselves. And it has nothing to do with the FDA. Our own government didn't do their job. So what do we need to pay that extra bit of tax for? Kid chews on a toy, gets lead poisoning, we end up suing that company or not buying their goods, and they're out of business. That'll be a lesson to the next fuck-up that tries to pull that shit.
Right on. I only have one thing to say to Parabali. When you say it's in a possessive form, you don't need the apostrophe. All right, then. Let's move on, John.
He's grading his paper now.
I'm not grading his paper. I'm just saying, if you want to make a more forceful argument, you have to get your grammar correct. Because once I saw that, I stopped reading the rest of it.
Oh,
I said, I'll let John talk about it.
Because
he can't get his its and his its. It is what the definition of is.
Oh, whatever, Mr. Pompous Ass.
I am a pompous
you
ass.
You are,
right?
Man.
Right
fucking
on, John.
Geek. You need a fucking punch in the face there, fella.
I just have a couple of science stories, but this first one I thought maybe I'll just do one science story.
You need a big punch there, big boy.
A big study suggests that harm of excess weight is overhyped. Have you heard this?
Yeah.
Downsides of obesity: higher risk of death from heart disease, diabetes, kidney disease, and some kinds of cancer. Downside of overweight: higher death risk from diabetes. Oh, how did that happen? Hold on. Downside from death. That sentence is in there twice. That's not good. Upside of overweight compared with normal weight: much lower risk from Alzheimer's, emphysema, lung cancer.
Lung cancer.
Parkinson's, pneumonia, and tuberculosis. All right. So yeah, to me, it's just choosing which way do you want to...
Yeah, going to die.
Which way are you going to die?
You want to be fat and not die of those diseases, or be skinny and die of those diseases.
Right, right on. Much lower death risk from Alzheimer's.
You won't, but you'll die of a heart attack and all that other stuff, but you could be skinny, not die of a heart attack, unless you're trying out for the Olympics and you're 28 years old.
Theory.
You're running a marathon.
Extra weight includes reserves that help you resist or recover from disease. So that's pretty interesting, I think.
Well, what I find remarkable is, you know, every, and I, don't get me wrong, I don't think being overweight is healthy at all, but on the news all the time, there's the big scare tactics of being obese and eating certain foods and blah, 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 and this causes disease and that causes disease, and there's all this disease. But yet, since as far back as we could record, when the, you know, what people's mortality have been, we find out more and more people are living longer and longer every year, and the mortality rate is less, and we're becoming more overpopulated.
Right. Well, that's
so
the,
what's the big scare?
I don't know.
People aren't, you know, they're, you'll hear in the news somebody died at 28 years old. This Olympic triathlete or whatever he was.
Marathoner.
And, but then you'll hear about a guy who, you know, had to be lifted out of his room in a fucking forklift, and he lives forever.
Yeah, yeah. Forklift, like, is he like 800 pounds?
Right.
Well, that's a great segue into my next story, John. Another science story.
Science story.
We talked about Al Gore, and yeah, he won the Nobel Prize right. for Peace, and we're like, well, why?
What the fuck?
Well, what do you win the prize for? Peace. Here's a follow-up, John. Here's the headline. Climate wars threaten Brazilians. More than 100 countries face political chaos, or do you say chaos?
Chaos.
And mass migration and global warming catastrophe. The total number of 46 nations and 2.7 billion people are now at high risk of being overwhelmed by armed conflict of war because of climate change. A further 56 countries face political destabilization, affecting another 1.2 Brazilian individuals. So that's what they're talking about. When the climate changes and there's drought in this area and there's flooding in this area and this is happening over here, that people's resources are going to run out and they're going to start killing each other just to get a goddamn glass of water.
You know, and this whole thing, this whole debate, and I totally see the two sides. One is like, yeah, we're skeptical about this whole global warming thing being bad for everybody. It probably will be, but it's a natural cycle and it's not caused by human beings. And then the other side of it, and maybe even Stefan C can talk to this a bit regarding when scientists put their, you know, their reports together, their documentation, and then they shout down the naysayers, and you know, that can't be very fair and all that, but I think there's plenty of data out there that this is really happening. And you hear like a Rush Limbaugh say it's a hoax. But here's a guy that'll tell you fucking that Noah was real. Oh, yeah.
Noah was real, man. Global warming is a hoax.
So this is like somebody, imagine if Noah came up and said, hey, God's pissed off. The shit's going to hit the fan. There's going to be a flood. 40 days and 40 nights of rain. You're all going to die. And I'm building, he told me to build this boat 20 cubits by 20 cubits.
I thought it was 40.
Whatever.
Was that 40 days 40, and 40 nights?
I don't know. Some cubits. He's got to build this boat.
Cubits.
And he's got to collect a pair of every species, put it on this boat. And if you want to be saved, you got to be on this boat too.
Every land species.
Land species. What would
in freshwater,
right.
I guess, right?
I don't know.
Because if it rained, all the seawater would mix and the salt water would be, yeah.
I don't know. That defeats, I don't care about that part. The point I'm trying to make is that.
I'm sorry.
Would you believe this fucking idiot if he came up to you and said all that shit?
Of course.
You would. Well, anyways.
Yes, because my belief system says that I have to be guilty about evolutionary thoughts that I have. So I'm going to be guilty, and then I'm going to believe a story like this because it's my only salvation.
Ah. Well, but what if the new salvation is in the guise of scientists telling you that global warming is the very next experiment that
That's
God
fine.
Is playing on humanity?
That's fine.
In
God
the guise
will protect
of Noah.
Me. God will protect me. God will provide.
And you'll keep saying that. What? Here comes a guy with a boat. Here comes a fire truck and then a guy with a boat. And then you're at the
God
pearly gates.
God will save me.
And you'll say, and God will say, what the hell are you doing here? I tried to save you. What do you mean? I prayed to you 100 times. You didn't save me. I sent you a fucking fire truck, a boat.
A helicopter.
Helicopter. And you chose to say that stupid prayer over and over again.
Whatever that prayer was. Right. Right on, John.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, what was I talking about?
Who knows? Let's move on to celebrity news. There's a story. We talk a lot about Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes, Tomcat. And I really find it hard to believe this next story. Low-key, Katie Holmes stuns, and she definitely stunned me, runners by completing the New York Marathon. Did you hear this, John?
No.
Actress Katie Holmes wowed runners at the New York Marathon on Sunday when she joined them en route, unannounced, wearing number 127, a baseball cap, purple vest, and black leggings. The
wow.
Batman Begins star looked like any other runner on the 26.2-mile race route, but her anonymity ended when her proud husband Tom Cruise, holding the couple's daughter Suri in his arms, insisted on a kiss as Holmes hit the final stretch of the marathon in Central Park.
Oh.
The actress completed the final stretch. The actress completed the marathon with a time of 5 hours, 29 minutes, 58 seconds. Looking as fresh as she did when she started the marathon, Superfit Holmes was overwhelmed, giggling. Here I am, baby, signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours. And she ran into her husband's arms at the finish line. Proud Cruise revealed she's very inspired. She trained for 3 months. All right. I have a huge issue with this story because I've run marathons, John.
Yeah.
I've run marathons when I've only trained for 3 months. And I got to tell you, the longer that you run, the more recovery you need. So, for example, these world-class guys, they run in 2 hours.
Right.
They take a nap, they're ready to go. I trained at one time, I only had 3 months to train. It took me 5 hours to run this goddamn thing, and it took me a week to recover. A goddamn week. I didn't get out of bed for 2 days. But here, Katie Holmes trains for 3 months after having a child, John. After having a child. And then she's... That same night, she goes with her husband to a premiere of a movie in high heels. I'm saying one of two things. Either she joined the race with like 2 miles left to go.
Yeah.
And she only ran 2 miles. Or she's one of the most unbelievable athletic, untapped athletic talents we have in America. I'm willing to go with she joined with 2 miles left.
Well, do you know why?
Why what?
Do you know why she would join with 2 miles left?
Why?
Because Tom Cruise is very worried about the new movies in. Lions from Lambs.
Lions or, from Lambs.
Yeah. And it's a publicity stunt because this is his first venture outside of his contract with whoever. Now he's with United Artists and his own. Or
it's
he's outside of his contract with
it's
United.
His deal.
It's his deal. And it's his production company. And he's doing whatever he can to promote this thing. Because if it tanks, it shows that his credibility is for shit.
So he has Katie Holmes join the marathon with 2 miles left to get this type of publicity?
Yeah.
Now, you hear a story like this, does it make you want to go see Tom Cruise's movie?
Well, no, but...
It makes me want to question the goddamn story.
No, what I think what it's saying is if you didn't have that analytical spin on it, if you were to just go... Man, did you see Katie Holmes, man? She ran this thing, and there she is with Tom Cruise and everything. Oh, aren't they in a movie this weekend?
Yeah, oh, is
yeah,
she in
and
it?
They went to the premiere. No, Tom is.
Right.
She's really hustling to help promote this thing.
Pun intended, hustling, right?
Yeah.
And I've run marathons with 3 months training. I've run marathons with a year training. Even when I had a year, I was completely useless for an entire 24 hours. I mean, you couldn't get me to do anything except eat a goddamn cheeseburger. But the news reports coming out about her are, oh, she wore high heels. She was all smiles. There is no goddamn way that she trained for 3 months and she could turn it around that quickly.
Whatever.
If that's the case,
whatever,
she's
Mr.
got like super
UFO
jeans.
Seer.
Super jeans is what I'm saying. Super jeans.
And what you saw was a UFO.
It was.
Yeah, whatever.
An unidentified...
Appeared to be flying object.
That two other people agreed with. Yes, I see that too. I see it too. It's right there. And it appears to be flying. It looks like a laser pointer.
It is.
One other celebrity story. LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf was arrested for trespassing, John.
What?
Transformer star Shia LaBeouf was arrested in Chicago. That's where we are.
Nice.
For trespassing at a discount store. The discount store was Walgreens. Isn't that a pharmacy? Why do they call it a discount store?
I don't know.
The 21-year-old actor who plays Harrison Ford's sidekick in the upcoming Indiana Jones movie was taken into custody on Sunday morning after refusing to leave a Walgreens store at 2 a.m., according to the Chicago Tribune.
What the fuck? Was he giving people shit?
Details of the arrest remain hazy, but it appears LaBeouf refused to leave the store. After security request, the staff called police. LaBeouf will appear in court. All right. Why weren't we at this Walgreens at 2 a.m.? We would now be this man's manager.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying,
yeah.
John? We'd be like, here's the story I heard. He was looking for cigarettes. So you're Shia LaBeouf. You probably have other people buy your cigarettes all the time. Now you got to buy cigarettes on your own. You stroll into a Walgreens. You don't know where the hell to go. So you're drunk, so they ask you to leave, and you put up a fuss.
Yeah.
Now, if we're in the Walgreens...
Hey, do you know who I am, fucker?
We take this young man under our shoulder, we get him his goddamn cigarettes, and we're now his manager, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's all about timing, John, timing. But no, he's arrested. And there you have it. All right, man. Let me... Oh, I got one clip to play. Before I get the door for Phil. One more clip to play, John. This is Keith Olbermann. Keith Olbermann.
What's he talking about?
Just talking about the W in general.
Really?
Yeah. It's in comment about the W's views on torture. But it's just a great 30-second clip that I think summarizes what you and I feel about the current regime.
Shock the monkey, Scott. Shock the monkey.
Shock the W.
The presidency of George W. Bush has now devolved into a criminal conspiracy to cover the ass of George W. Bush. All the petulancy, all the childish threats, all the blank stare stupidity, all the invocations of World War III, all the sophistic questions about which terrorist attacks we wanted him not to stop, all the phony secrets, all the claims of executive privilege, all the stumbling tap dancing of his nominees, all the verbal flatulence of his apologists, all of it is now, after one revelation last week, transparently clear for what it is. The pathetic and desperate manipulation of the government, the refocusing of our entire nation towards keeping this mock president and this unstable vice president and this departed, wildly self-overrating attorney general and all the others from potential prosecution for having approved or ordered the illegal torture of prisoners being held in the name of our country.
I couldn't agree more.
Wow.
Whoa.
He said a mouthful on
that.
That
is a mouthful.
Damn.
Puts it into perspective.
No doubt.
Now, just to get a flavor of what Keith Olbermann is talking about, because we got a goddamn chimp in office here, John. Go ahead and play W Dummy. Now, we've played this clip before, but this is my goddamn favorite W clip of all time. And this just gives you a little perspective about what we're dealing with here in the United States of America.
I would say that those who herald this decision simply do not understand the nature of the world in which we live. You might remember last week, working with the great with people in Great Britain, we disrupted a plot. People were trying to come and kill. Kill people. This country of ours is at war.
I think
we must give those who are whose responsibility it is to protect the United States the tools necessary to protect this country in a time of war. The judge's decision was I strongly disagree with that decision. Strongly disagree. That's why I instructed the Justice Department to appeal immediately. And I believe our appeals will be upheld. I made my position clear about this war on terror. And by the way, the enemy made their position clear yet again when we were able to stop them. And the American people expect us to protect them. And therefore, I put this program in place. We believe, strongly believe, it's constitutional. And if Al-Qaeda is calling into the United States, we want to know why they're calling.
Why?
And so I made my position clear. It'd be interesting to see what other policymakers, how other policymakers react. Listen, thank you all very much.
This is recycled stuff.
What a goddamn chimp.
There's no rules.
An imbecile. Imbecile!
Yeah, he's something else.
Unbelievable, John.
I think.
Remember him starting his car? Unreal.
One other story. Now, Kucinich brought up impeachment for Cheney.
Right.
And
that's what I think. That's a ballsy move on that dude's part, man.
I don't think it's ballsy at all. I think, hey, it's completely goddamn obvious.
Well, it is obvious. 54% of the country wants this guy impeached, and he's got a 9% approval rating. But it's ballsy because it's not very popular within the Senate and the House, man. They're just, Congress is not happy about it.
That's what enrages me, John. I am enraged by this. And Olbermann had on Rachel Maddow to talk about this. I don't have the clip, but here's what she said. So they're wondering why. Okay, so Kucinich had this motion, but it just gets killed in Congress, which is democratically run. So Rachel Maddow says, I don't know what genius political consultant has advised the Democratic leadership. It's a bad idea to, for hours of prime time on the floor of Congress, reminding the country that Mr. 11% approval rating is a bad guy. And, I mean, just right there, it just sums it up. What is wrong with the Democrats?
Right.
Who is
Everybody's
leading
saying,
these people?
Take some time, some of that prime time, and debate it on the floor. And start reminding people what the fuck is what this guy's been doing.
And it's not like you don't have anything to talk about. I mean, this guy is a fucking prick.
And here's some of these idiots come up and they go, there's better things. You know, what are we going to do? Did we impeach him? We still got Bush. Yeah, but you have to do it backwards because, like you said, if we impeach Bush, then we got Cheney as the president, and then we're really fucked. So get rid of the mastermind and, you know, cut the umbilical and the brain will die.
And then
cut the brain.
Can you imagine seeing W after Cheney gets impeached?
Yeah.
What that chimp would start.
Oh, my God.
She says it's supposed to be politics 101, that you associate yourself with good things and you are seen to frequently and rapidly denounce bad things. How could it be more simpler than that, what she just stated, and the Democrats just don't fucking get it unless they're in on it,
right.
Unless they're getting some kickbacks from who knows what, or that this wiretapping and email listening and all this phone shit, the W and Cheney are like Hoover, Herbert Hoover, and they got a bunch of shit on all these Democrats. So if the Democrats were to vote for impeachment, they would just throw out all this material that they acquired illegally on these Democrats. That's the only thing I can think of. What are these people thinking? God damn it. I'm just starting to get frustrated, John. Frustrated.
Hey, speaking of shows, O'Reilly was back in the news. He's going off again about the war on Christmas. You know, that's coming up.
You know, I had a story about that, and I didn't bring it in. But the war on Christmas, John, has started.
Something.
It's already started.
Yeah, he started last week with this. He kicked off his annual conniption fit over a perceived war on Christmas. O'Reilly's target last night was a decision by Fort Collins, Colorado City Council to celebrate the holiday season with an educational museum display, plain wreaths and garlands on city property and trees with white lights rather than the traditional Christmas decorations such as trees with colored lights. In the segment, O'Reilly called the decision by the city's holiday display task force, which he incorrectly called the Holiday Diversity Task Force, insane and an assault on to diminish Christmas for secular progressive reasons. And he asked his right-wing guest, Denver talk radio host Dan Kaplis. He went even further, calling it something out of the Soviet Union. And this is some other things that O'Reilly said in the past. Describing the war on Christmas, O'Reilly claimed every company in America should be on its knees thanking Jesus for being born. Without Christmas, most American businesses would be far less profitable. This was in 2005. This fucking moron said this.
How profitable would Bill O'Reilly be with all his Christmas shit that he sells Jesus?
Without Jesus. That
cocksucker.
O'Reilly compared Catholic leaders' silence over war on Christmas to church's reaction to pedophilia scandal. No, that was in 2005. He also said, you're a moron if you don't believe the secular progressive movement is behind war on Christmas, claimed O'Reilly on his radio show in 05. And in 06, O'Reilly lauded Walmart's decision to use the phrase Merry Christmas as a victory in the culture war battle for those who want to retain the Christmas tradition.
Yeah, I just don't know where he's. Like you and I, John, we're both atheists, but we celebrate Christmas. Yeah. And if our kids ask, we'll tell them how Christmas originated and about Jesus. But for us, it's more a celebration of family, getting family together. It's more of a seasonal thing, I guess. But I still enjoy gift giving.
Yeah.
Receiving gifts more than gift giving.
More than the giving.
I enjoy getting a tree, decorating. I love Christmas songs. But for me, the Santa Claus and Jesus, it's the same goddamn fairy tale to me, but we still celebrate Christmas. We don't have a war on Christmas.
No.
But I can't even think of
Nineveh. I don't want my tax dollars going to a nativity scene.
Right. That's the issue right there, John. like a $5,000 a living nativity scene that we have to pay our taxes for. Forget that. I'm not for that at all. Separated shouldn't a church and state there, John.
Yeah.
Right on.
Throw some lights up and.
All right, let me get the door.
Oh, yeah. Now my kid for high school, I heard that all the holidays are being celebrated. They get them all off. The Polish ones, the Jewish ones, and
well, you
the
can't discriminate.
Christian. Well, I mean, what the fuck? Let's start a religion, and we'll have a goddamn holiday.
Just tell your kid he's Muslim, and he has to face Mecca five times a day.
At school.
That's what I was thinking. You know,
it's stupid.
We got the moment of silence now in school.
Yeah. How about a moment of teaching?
If everybody... If everybody who was in protest of that just told their kid to bring a rug and face east and pray, all praise Allah during that time, you know how quickly that would go away?
Yeah, it would be shut down in a heartbeat.
All right, let me get the door, man. I'm going to get going.
He's getting crazy with the bell, man. He's going to fucking break it. Oh, my God. Dude, relax.
All right, I'm back. Let's let Phil get back to his news.
Oh. Hey, Phil, what's up, man?
Well, I also have a story about the war on Christmas. In my news, I couldn't help but hear you while I was waiting patiently outside to come in and deliver the news.
It's barbaric.
I just wish you'd give me my old key so that I wouldn't have to disrupt the show.
Oh, you don't have one?
I could sneak in, you know.
I'll try and see if I could find one.
Because I'm usually pretty prompt, John and Scott.
You need to
whenever
pray,
you're ready,
Lord,
John, I'm ready America. To deliver the news. I am Phil McCracken. Wake up.
All right.
Total dog nonsense. All right.
Your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. And our first story tonight happens to be a follow-up story from a story that we did last week. Here it is. Michael James Plenty Horse, son of Lee Harvey Hung Like Horse. Son of Lee Harvey Hung Like Horse gets off on indecent exposure charges after getting off on mannequin. And this is something we talked about last week. But a Sioux Falls man caught in the Washington Pavilion having simulated sex with a mannequin did not commit a crime of indecent exposure, the state Supreme Court says.
Supreme Court says?
In a decision released Thursday, the court reversed a conviction of Michael James Plenty Horse, who was found in the late afternoon lying on top of a mannequin in the alumni room of the pavilion. A security guard surprised Plenty Horse, the record says. He lay with his pants partially down on a mannequin which had its band in form partially removed. He was 19 at the time. The Supreme Court unanimously reversed the misdemeanor conviction, saying the state's indecent exposure statute criminalizes sexual gratification by displaying or showing one's genitalia in public. The evidence failed to show that Plenty Horse was trying to display himself in public. It was almost closing at the pavilion, and no other patrons were around when the guard was found on the man. The court said Plenty Horse's action, lewd though it may be, does not fall within the purview of the indecent exposure statute. Had the conviction stood, the man would have been required to register as a sex offender. Next story, John. Texas School District declares hugging an abomination.
What?
Texas School District declares hugging an abomination. Enacts bans. Students fail to embrace policy. Next story, John.
Oh.
Our next story is a PSA. It's a PSA. It may soon be illegal to say the N-word in the city of Angels, Los Angeles. The Los Angeles City Council has passed a resolution to officially ban the racial slur. A LA City Council today passed a resolution that bans the word nigger. L.A. City Councilman Bernard Parks introduced the symbolic resolution calling on residents not to use the racial slur. Parks says the N-word implies somebody who's lazy, stupid, and doesn't speak proper English.
Oh, my God.
Well-known nigger George W. Bush, unavailable for comment. Next story, John. In completely unrelated news, here's something you may not have heard about in 40 years. A company in Georgia has been accused of essentially having a whites-only bathroom on its premises. According to First Coast News, the Georgia Pacific office building in the town of Brunswick recently fired an African-American employee after she went to the news media complaining that company officials only let white people use its restroom. While working at the office, Lisa Woods told a TV news station that one of her coworkers did not like black people and suggested that racists should not integrate. She also said the office's restroom was placed out of order for months, even though she believes it worked just fine. The reason for the out-of-order sign, Woods believes, is to prevent African-Americans from using the toilet. According to the former security guard at the building, truck drivers frequently stop at the scaling station, and whenever the white driver went in, he used the restroom. Black truck drivers, the guard said, could not. Rather, they had to go into the woods.
Wow.
Was the toilet really broken? A crack, investigative reporter from First Coast News went into the building and flushed it. The toilet worked just fine, John. Hours after the TV station's visit, Georgia Pacific fired Woods.
Wow.
Woods has since brought a wrongful termination lawsuit against the company on the basis of racial and sexual discrimination. Georgia Pacific claims Woods was simply terminated for being an uppity nigger. Next story, John.
Whoa.
The war on Christmas has been resurrected, just as Jesus was roughly 2,000 years ago. Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development officials have announced a ban on any decorations in HUD housing complexes that mention Jesus or represent religion for the Christmas season. And the American Family Association has responded with a petition to overturn this decision. The issue arose at the Planet City Living Center in Planet City, Florida, where 85-year-old Miss Arnold was told that federal law now prohibits her from displaying anything that references religion, words, decorations, and the like, in the common area of her apartment building.
We used to have a sign outside that said, Jesus is the reason for the season.
Oh, my
but
God.
But we can't anymore, she told me. We're all very unhappy about that. If residents want to have a Christmas party in their community room, they cannot call it a Christmas party. The center has said HUD directors residents not to use the word Christmas, but to use the word holiday.
Ironically, John, because they are not in Los Angeles, they also have the option to call Christmas Niggermas. Next story, John.
Oh, my God, dude.
Confirming that the lottery is a tax on the stupid, scratch tickets withdrawn in the UK because customers couldn't understand them. Next story, John. Getting on his wick. Monk gets candles stuck in his penis.
What?
He did a very stupid and shameful thing.
He did a very stupid and shameful thing.
Says Romanian monastery source to the Daily Sport. The man with the tonsure is speaking of trainee monk Dimitri Uli, who is said to have got hammered, or other words, pissed, and spent the night with a woman he met at a party. A woman who may or may have not been a nun. In the morning, Dimitri awoke full of regret and with a candle wedged up his penis. Says the doctor who treated him, I have no idea how he managed to do it, but it looked extremely painful, albeit unlit. Next story, John. Disney to change It's a Small World ride to It's a Small World with Big Fat Tourists. 41 years after the whimsical ride debuted at the Anaheim Park, Disneyland plans to offer the shuttle attraction in January.
I thought they're going to change the name of the ride to something more politically correct. Like,
yes.
It's more of a it's a height challenged world.
No, it's a small world with big fat tourists. 41 years after the whimsical ride debuted at the Anaheim Park, Disneyland plans to shutter the attraction in January to give it a much needed facelift and deal with the delicate problem of bottoming out boats because of grossly obese customers. Next story, John. School board sues parents over an online petition criticizing an administrator. Did you get that, John?
What?
A school board sues parents over online petition criticizing one of the school's administrators.
Oh, that's goddamn ridiculous.
They
it's
say
a public
it's,
school.
They say it's not about the money, John. It's the principal. Next story, John.
Oh.
For years, Mike and Bella Hunt have tried hard to miss have tried hard not to miss Western Kentucky Lady Topper basketball games. More recently, the Hunts have tried hard to make sure the university misses out on a few prospective Lady Toppers as possible. Since Mike Hunt gave his first $25,000 gift in the 90s, the couple has donated nearly $700,000 to the women's program. According to Bob Skipper, director of media relations, Mike Hunt.
Wait a minute. There's a Mike Hunt and a Bob Skipper?
There's a Bob Skipper and a Mike Hunt.
Is there an Oral Roberts?
Mike Hunt said Wednesday that the private sector must step up in order to keep the Lady Toppers among the nation's top programs. I tried unsuccessfully to contact Mike Hunt for this story.
What's your fucking point?
That I tried unsuccessfully to contact Mike Hunt for this story. Next story, John. Contest to define Britain in five words. This was a contest to define Britain in five words. Strangely, my orthodontist is highly skilled, not on the short list. Next, John. Next story, John. Next, John story. Next and last story, John. In a brilliant move, lawyer asked judge to allow his client to become drunk to demonstrate that he is capable of driving while under the influence of alcohol. Unfortunately, his request to prove that his client was able to drive while under the influence was turned down by the judge.
Wow.
And that's the news, John.
Wow.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Scott.
That's out of sight, man.
Of course.
All right. Well, thanks for coming.
All right, then. All right. Don't forget it. Los Angeles, you can't say nigger.
Oh, my God.
No nigger!
Oh, what is wrong with him, man?
What is up with Phil, man?
Phil is, whoa.
Ugh.
What, he's like Michael Richards all of a sudden.
We'll have to analyze that last newscast, John.
Oh, we have this little tidbit from Dave Chappelle.
Dave?
Yeah.
Chappelle.
I think he's pushing the Mac over the PC.
Mac over the PC.
Yeah, it sounds like a service announcement.
Okay.
Well, I'm a comedian. I travel a lot, and needless to say, I get horny out there. I'm a chronic masturbator. I tried wagging off with my PC, but I felt like it was just too much clickety-clack, clickety-clack with my Mac. I mean, the video resolution is so clear, I can see parts of the vagina that I didn't even know existed. Labias and flabias and flip-flaps. Man! I'm a chronic masturbator. I don't know what they make the keys out of, but whatever it is, it's non-stick. And then with iTunes, I can actually listen to some of my favorite music while I'm masturbating. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to mess with. I'm Dave Chappelle, and I love internet porn.
So, did you get that YouTube link I sent you with Tyra Banks?
No.
And the vagina puppet?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. Yes, I did see that. Yes.
Did you show your wife?
I did not.
I showed mine.
I did not show my wife.
She was, she was like, what the fuck is that?
The vajayjay puppet.
I know, but the thing is really freaky looking, man.
It is freaky.
It looks like a giant vagina. Even they wrinkled up the lips on it and everything. But what was creepy is Tyra Banks. You should link that on the...
I'll link it. We'll link it.
Tyra Banks
we'll link to it.
Is telling everybody to get a hand mirror and look at their vajayjay when they get home.
Why?
To check it out.
For what?
Because some people think that they pee out of the vagina, and it's really out of the urethra.
Urethra.
Yeah.
But it still comes out of the vagina.
No,
it doesn't. It doesn't?
The vaginal hole is a separate area.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
Wait a minute.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that. I need to view that
There's
clip.
A pee hole between the clitoris and the vaginal opening.
The clitoris and the vag... Okay, yeah. When you talk about the vajayjay, I'm thinking all-encompassing. So there, you got the clitoris and the urethra within the same all-encompassing thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is, yeah. But all right, it doesn't come out of the hole.
What
it
hole?
It is its own separate hole.
Oh, I understand that, but it comes out the same... Hole, you know what I mean?
You mean slit. Yeah. Gives out the same slit.
The same axe wound.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. That's just disgusting.
That is, isn't it?
Sick.
Who mentioned that to us?
It's axe wound. Hey, you know what you call a blonde doing a handstand?
No.
A brunette with bad breath.
Whoa.
All right, that's all the time we have this week.
For 110, John.
Yeah, 110. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And you've been listening to Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. Later.
Later.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.